AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, delicious succulent apples at my fingertips. That was my goal this weekend. Mission accomplished. Fall Harvest Orchard out in Montrose. I was out there. And delicious. I managed to get all the kids together. We went out there and we did some apple picking.
Best of all, they weren't racist apples.
They weren't racist. Is there a story I've missed in the news?
You know, in the City Pages article a few weeks ago, remember that apple orchard that had?
Oh, that guy up in Hinckley?
Yeah.
Oh, God. No. I didn't want the racist apples.
Yeah. Just well, checking. Yeah.
There are a lot of white apples here, aren't there? Anyway, no. I went to Montrose, where the only thing that was political, my son, as we're driving out on the corner of US 12 and 25 out in Montrose, there is a building, if you want to call it a building, that's almost fallen over completely, and it's covered in Trump signs. And my son said, "Oh, that's pretty appropriate." And I said, "There you go." No, I got caramel apple. Got numerous varieties of apples. I got an apple crumble. We had apples, the apple cider donuts. It was delicious, man, and it was gorgeous. It's really pretty out in the country right now. Do you get, you know, are you a big apple fan or not really?
No, I just bike in the fall. Beautiful weather to see that, so I'm not out picking apples or
anything.
What
kind of person doesn't like fruit, man? You know, I'll tell you what. Commie. This is why Antifa started, because of you and your lack of apple love.
It's my fault.
I can already see Jennifer Carnahan, who's desperate to get any kind of headline in the paper, running like, McNeil acknowledges Antifa exists. Yeah, have you seen the sweaters? They're at the front of the crew. I mean, they have their sweaters like a 1950s Letterman group. They have ANTIFA, and they're all kind of walking on the street. That's how you identify them. There's the sweaters. It's Antifa. No, not really. Anyway, I hope you did get out. I hope you did enjoy things. This weekend, Friday's news cycle was insane. It didn't get much better on Saturday. I did decompress with some hiking out in the woods as well yesterday. I hope you got some downtime, because it has been... But here is the bright sunshine on your day. Aaron Murphy, kind enough to join us right now. Democrat of the day, Senate District 64, the former representative looking to head back to St. Paul, representing as a senator. And dear Lord, do we need her in this day and age. Aaron, thank you much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me. And, you know, bright sunshine is a pretty great thing to say. So I'm excited to join you and bring whatever brightness I can to your day.
Well, you've always been one of the more, you are, and I'll say this, I have no problem gushing. You are one of the more exceptional politicians I've ever met in my life. You are truly a person that cares about your community. You don't care only about Democrats. You care about everyone that's in your community. You have a big heart and compassion. You know your issues. And I'll tell you, it's easy to follow you. It's easy to be a supporter of you, because you're just that good of a politician and a person that I'm just proud to be able to have you on the show every once in a while.
I'm happy to join you anytime, and thank you for those kind words. You know, I did serve 12 years in the Minnesota House and spent a lot of time all over the state of Minnesota, and spending time with Minnesotans has made me very clear about my next chapter, and I really am devoted to the people of Minnesota. I got into politics because I really care a lot about people, just like I got into nursing because I care a lot about people. And we have some tough issues in front of us, and I know that together we have both the capacity and the will to solve those tough problems, and I'd like to be a part of that with the people of Minnesota.
Were you anticipating running? I mean, you came out of the Minnesota House. You weren't in office for a while. Were you anticipating running this soon, or did you want to just kind of evaluate your options? Because obviously, Senate District 64 is a fine fit for you.
I came out of the race for governor really transformed, and it took a little while, of course, to, you know, get my feet about me again and heal up a little bit, because it's never easy to lose a race. It was the first big loss that I've experienced. And, it comes with the grief of a real loss. So I needed to, kind of get my head wrapped around that experience and understand its meaning. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but it didn't take me very long to say out loud, I don't think I am done with public service if Minnesotans are willing to have me. And I didn't think that running for the Minnesota Senate would be the place that I would go, but I am really committed to organizing, to building our power and support for the kind of change I believe is possible here in the state of Minnesota. And so, you know, after a lot of thought and some sleep and good counsel from the people around me, I did make the decision to get into this race. And I'm really happy I did, because I am sure you're thinking about this, but we're living in a very compelling time. One that, you know, keeps me up at night when I think about the threat to our democratic institutions, and one that gives me comfort because I know what we're capable of. And I know I have a really clear perspective on the goodness of people across the state of Minnesota. And when we bring those voices to bear on our work, we can make real progress. And that's the part I want to do.
There is, I mean, and just in the last, you know, 4 or 5 days, there's just this real unsettled nature. I mean, on one side of it, we all are aghast. You hear that a large portion of the Republican Party's senior leadership was exposed to coronavirus. And then you hear turnarounds of, you know, people jumping on Delta flights and still saying don't wear face masks. And Pete Stauber's out there campaigning, even though he's supposed to be in quarantine. The misinformation of, oh, I took a test and 3 days later I'm fine, I can go back, which is not true. You're still supposed to be quarantined for 14 days. You know, there is just this, I want to feel sorry for these guys. And I want to, wow, this is a real, I mean, a moment within history, within the state. And then in turn, they almost, it's like the goodwill that is generated by people like myself saying, I hope all the Republicans survive this, especially Jim Hagedorn. I'm very concerned about him. But I'm there. Then they come on out and they're back with their misinformation. They're back with their flying on Delta on a regular airline. And, you know, you kind of just shake your head. I mean, these are odd times indeed.
You know, when you have the privilege of representing Minnesotans in elected office, It really is for me, it's a sacred privilege. It is, and how we conduct ourselves in respect to that privilege tells us a lot about who we are. I don't know why a political party has decided that it is advantageous to talk about COVID like it is not real. I don't know who that helps. But, you know, I'm a nurse. I understand how infectious disease happens. This virus is looking for its next host, which is another human. And so whenever we see, like we saw last week in the Rose Garden and then inside the White House, a significant gathering of people who are close together without masks on, you know that despite the fact that they took temperatures or did rapid tests, that asymptomatic spread is a critical part of this condition. And until we recognize that and act accordingly, COVID will continue to spread. 210,000 Americans have died. More than 7 million people are infected. I don't understand how it is advantageous for a political party to deny that. Mm-hmm. And to see them get onto a plane and allow, and Delta, of all airlines, to allow that, mm-hmm, I think is a travesty. I think the response nationally to COVID is a failure. It's a national disgrace, and we're paying a significant price for it.
It is the outcome of vilifying science for 20 years. And you get to this point, and the science is telling you this is what you need to do to survive. And people either think they can negotiate with the virus, or that their political party makes them immune to a virus, or just the virus doesn't exist. And, you know, this is the reason why. I mean, we absolutely have to, in the state of Minnesota, get that Senate into the Democrats' hands, because quite literally we can't trust these people. You know, as I said, I wouldn't trust these people to put syrup on pancakes at this point, let alone deal with a pandemic. And I think that we have to have people that understand science and medicine. They need to take the lead on this, and you follow their recommendations for the betterment of all of us.
For all of us. Yeah. That's right.
Once again, and you just heard, you know, Aaron Murphy, once again, the nursing background will come in handy, especially on some of these committees where we've been running into roadblocks here. When you jump from the House to the Senate, what are kind of the from your perspective, what's the difference there? How is the challenge different for you between the House of Representatives and the Senate?
So I'll be new to the Senate, and it is a new body, and I'm going into that, knock on wood, I'm elected on November 3rd, and we're in a really good position. So I believe I'm going to be successful at the election. I think about coming into a new body, and I am curious, and I'm a very good student. And so I've already been talking with some of what I hope will be my future colleagues to understand the difference between the House and the Senate. It's obviously a body that is half the size, which I think increases the importance of relationships and relationship building with the other 66 people who work and represent Minnesotans' interests. But beyond that, I feel really clear that my job is to represent Minnesotans, and that as much of the work that happens inside the Capitol is about our future. More of what's possible happens when we work outside the Capitol. That's where the change actually happens. And so I believe it's really important to bring the organizer in me to the work that I'm going to do when elected to the Minnesota Senate and stay in deep contact and deep relationship with the people of Minnesota. And the virus for me has been an isolator. It makes me lonely. We usually are door knocking like crazy at this point in a campaign, and I'm spending most of my time in Zoom meetings and on the telephone, and I have really missed seeing people. And I look forward to the day when we are vaccinated and able to gather again, because there are a lot of people across the state who I haven't seen for a while. I know that our future rests in the voices of the people of Minnesota. I care about everybody across the state, and I can't wait to get back to work for them.
I'm as tough as that is, and I know you are one of these advocates for door knocking. We talked about that back in 2018. The door knocking is the key to winning in 2016 as well. But one of the things which is amazing is that I understand it's hard, but I'm glad you're not door knocking. There are some stories I'm seeing of Republicans showing up at people's houses, no mask on, door knocking like there's not a pandemic going on. The reality is that as tough as it is, I think people understand that. It also is interesting as far as a campaign goes, especially for 64, which we should mention is pretty much the western side of St. Paul. Highland Tangletown runs up north of 94 there, and I think Pike Island is even in that district as well. It is the west side of St. Paul. Obviously, early balloting has been a key here. We've talked to Steve Simon, the Secretary of State. A lot of absentee ballots, well over a million now requested. You talk about changing that element of the campaign. Is that you're not just looking for people on November 3rd, vote for me. It's starting with the early voting for the next month. When you do get your ballot, however you do get it, members to vote for me. Talk about that challenge.
The stay-at-home order came very, mid-March, I think.
Yes.
In this campaign, we very early started talking about the opportunity to vote by mail, starting right in 64, and we have just continued to press, urging people to cast their ballot safely, casting them as soon as they can. And especially now, as this president and the administration are using their powerful voices to try and discredit mail balloting, which of course has been happening in parts of Minnesota for years. In some communities, that's all they do is vote by mail. We think it is important and have really been pushing people to vote as soon as possible. I voted in the general election on the first day that we were able to. I went and voted at Ramsey County in person with my mask on because I couldn't wait. But in whatever way you can, whether it is voting early in person, voting by mail, or voting with your absentee ballot and taking it to a place where you can drop it safely, get them in early so we can get them all counted on election night. And I'm thrilled that so many Minnesotans are taking advantage of the opportunity to vote early and to vote safely.
I'm once again tickled pink that you're I'm just happy about you being back in politics here. I'm, you know, God willing, once again, there is no election that's guaranteed. 64 is been a reliable Democratic seat, but we still have to campaign. It's nothing's won until Election Day. So I want everyone help out, volunteer, donate to help Aaron Murphy to get into the Minnesota Senate. And trust me, the Senate needs Aaron Murphy at this point. So we need to get rid of the current leadership, get Susan Kenton as the Senate Majority Leader, Aaron Murphy in there. Can I make a suggestion on any kind of health care issues? Please take the forefront on those. Aaron, if people want to get in touch with your campaign to volunteer, help out any way possible, how should they do that?
Well, they should send us an email at murphyfor64.com. You can reach us there. And I just want to put one more plug in for early voting. Okay. Once you've cast your ballot, it is really important that you talk to everybody in your circle and make sure that they're voting too. Turnout is the key to this election, like it is to every election. Donald Trump is president because so many Americans didn't vote last time. So let's all cast our ballots. Let's get everybody in our circles to vote. Let's win this election and get to the work of building our future.
And you said it exactly. You have to go on out there. And people that you don't know, if you don't know if they voted or not, if you don't know if they plan on voting, you have to talk to them and make sure they know the options. And, of course, Secretary of State's page, mnvotes.org, has all the information, no matter where you are in the state, on how to vote. But you said it. You just got to talk to people and tell people to get out to vote, because 110 million registered voters did not vote in 2016. We cannot have that happen again.
That's right.
Aaron Murphy, Representative Aaron Murphy.
Just call me Aaron.
Aaron Murphy, Senate District 64, murphyfor64.com. That's murphyfor64.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Aaron, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, Matt McNeil. I'll talk to you soon.
Aaron Murphy, Senate District 64, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Werner's Deli is celebrating its 66th anniversary with a great sale. I promise you'll save money on the appliances you choose. Get free installation on KitchenAid and Beko dishwashers and Bosch cooking pairs. Save hundreds on an LG French door refrigerator or laundry pair. Werner's Deli feels honored to be the appliance specialist of more than 350,000 Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa homeowners and contractors. Take advantage of unbeatable appliance savings and service for a limited time during Werner's Deli's 66th anniversary sale.
Hello, humans! This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm an idealist working to change the world. My show, Ellie 2.0 Radio, highlights other past and present idealists and the incredible things humans can do when we work for the greater good. You remember that idea about the greater good, right? I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Listen every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. and be inspired on AM 950.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Can I call Donald Trump the anti-Aaron Murphy? Aaron Murphy is just sensational, rational, intelligent, a leader we need in dark times like this. And I'm dead serious when I say that. I cannot give my highest recommendation. I don't give it to some people that often. Aaron Murphy has always got it. She is an exceptional politician, and she cares about the people. She's the leader. She's a leader we need right now. And Donald Trump, I think, is possibly the complete and total opposite of that. The tweet this moron sent out just and I understand he's not working with a full deck anyway, and I'm sure, you know, growing up with his father led to a complete, you know, a Encyclopedia Britannica of psychological disorders that clown has. And I get it. You know, you own the libs, Republicans, by electing him. Gotcha. No problem. But, you know, there are times where the level of the level of insanity that is there, that exists within this man's mind, is truly something of just unbelievable. This is the tweet this moron sent out. I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. Feeling great, feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Now, there is a legitimate question whether or not this guy really was sick. And I the reason I say that is if he truly does feel this good, that would be one of the fastest turnarounds I've ever heard of someone who only 3 days ago was having 103-degree fever, heart palpitations, his blood oxygen level was dipping below 95%. And, of course, he had coronavirus. And here this guy is out implying and making an argument that you shouldn't – you're feeling really good. You don't be afraid of COVID. Dude, 214,000 Americans, over 214,000 Americans have died of coronavirus. That is grossly too, a number that's probably grossly undercounted because conservative states will say, well, did they have cancer? Yeah, but they died of coronavirus. Well, list the death as cancer because we don't want the liberals to win. Like, information is bias. Facts and reality are bias. The insanity of this guy's tweet, 214,000 Americans dead. You have countries where they've had a few dozen people die. And granted, smaller countries, but still, when you put it into ratios, we have 4% of the world's population. We have well over 20% of the world's deaths. This has been an absolute travesty how he has dealt with this. And we have a lot of dead people because of Trump and Republicans constantly thinking they can negotiate or intimidate or ignore a virus. Don't let it dominate your life. We've developed under the Trump administration really great drugs and knowledge. No, you didn't. Other people have developed this stuff. You guys basically, you know, just whenever you get sick going, give me drugs now. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Dude, you're the president of the United States. I don't know if he's aware of this or not, but his health care is going to be just a smidge better than most of ours. That I have friends who have basically drained their bank accounts just by one test to see if they had coronavirus. Not to get treated for coronavirus, just to get the test to see if they had it, drained their bank accounts. Here you are basically taking, you know, $40,000 injections of steroids or something of that nature, you know, willy-nilly because, you know, as president, they give them to you in a Pez container and acting as if this is somehow the normal. Have you been to rural America? I mean, outside of your airport stops, have you gone out there? Have you seen the lack of medical facilities? Have you seen the lack of people with insurance? They're not going to be fine if they, God forbid, get this disease, but yet hopefully they survive this disease. It will cost them everything. I am just, I'm flabbergasted at this decision. And like I said, there are people out there who I can 100% understand that when they say, oh, he never really had it. Because you want to know the truth is, I find this either he just is this guy, and the whole thing is they just got to, they're going to project. So get him to the point where he can stand up on his own. And let him do some photo ops. We'll put him into a bed when he gets to the White House, and no one has to do anything. I don't know. I can understand why people are thinking this is not real. I think it's real. I just think the way that it was released to the public showed me that if this was fake, they would have released it themselves so he could get out of the debates. I think the way this was released to the public, that people found out Hope Hicks was sick, and then all of a sudden they had to kind of give up the ghost that they've been trying to hide. I think that tells me this is real. I also think that there's a lot of Republicans that would, that would indeed be, I don't know if they'd go along with the farce that all these other Republicans that have gotten sick. White House staff, sure, but the senators? The housekeeper? That now they got the housekeeper? Three or four of the members of the press office are now sick? It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. It will show. I mean, right now, and we've just done the math on this. Brett and I did the math on this. If he's got to be in a bed for 10 days, today's the 5th. That means the 15th, the debate that's on the 15th is off. That's off. Whether they have the next one remains to be seen. But, this upcoming VP debate might be the last chance you have to see the two opposing sides. And frankly, compared to the first debate, this will actually be somewhat comparable or comprehensive. I mean, they'll at least talk about issues. How about I say it like that? You have Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. They're going to face off. The VP debate is on Wednesday. We are going to be out at a Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. We're doing a socially distancing VP debate event. We did it last time with the first debate. We're going to do it again with the VP debate. You get social distance. You have everyone's wearing face masks. It's a pretty safe environment. So it's a great way for you to at least go out there and see some of the people who are, and be around people who are like-minded like yourselves, as well as get to watch and see the debate going on. The VP debate, Wednesday night, 7:30, doors open, 8 o'clock the debate. If you'd like to get tickets, we'd love to see you out there. If you want to get tickets, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Get tickets and join us on Wednesday. Once again, limited seating and no tickets are available at the door. No tickets are going to be available at the door. So if you do want to go to the VP debate, you need to get your tickets online today. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break and come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Tom, certified financial planner with an all-women team at RBC Wealth Management. Making sure you and your loved ones can live comfortably in the future starts with the choices you make today. During times like these, having a trusted investment team is more important than ever. We practice social distancing and can work with clients remotely. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
I love the Toyotas I've gotten at Rudy Luther Toyota, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. And I can tell you, it will save you a lot of money over 3 years. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Are you wondering what's going on with our real estate market right now? Then why not become a house geek? Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and host of the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here with your Market Minute. 4.86 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the median sale price range, and this is a key indicator of current demand in our marketplace. The median sale price is up by 8% over the same time last year, which is at about $297,000. The 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 3.33%. This is historically low and is virtually unchanged over last week. So what does this mean for sellers? Showing activity is slower than it was last year at the same time. However, due to the low inventory of homes for sale, activity is still showing it is a seller's market. For buyers, you are able to schedule showings with your realtor if you are taking proper precautions. Are you thinking about making a move? Then remember, you can check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Well, that's a fairly quick stand corrected. Apparently, Trump's and his spokespeople, whoever that's left, whoever's left to be a spokesperson at this point, have said he is planning on indeed participating in the last debate, or the next debate on the 15th. He is planning on being there. If he's there, and I'm going to be dead serious, if he's there, then he clearly does not have coronavirus. I mean, he is a 70-some-year-old man with clearly some other health issues, is obese, eats Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell like he's a frat boy. And yeah, apparently the doctors were very unforthcoming about the fact that anything about his condition. Didn't want to talk about his lungs, didn't want to discuss his scans. And I don't know. I mean, this good medicine that he's taking, it wears out. You know, it's not like it's permanent. You know, it's not an inoculation. 214,000 dead. Oh, yeah, that's great. You can beat this, no problem. Only losers die. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but am I that far off? Jim is in Golden Valley. He wanted to chime on in. Thanks for holding, Jim. Welcome on into the show.
Tom Hartman was talking today about how he's probably so high on the drugs right now. Of course, he feels great. And then he's going to come down from that. And they talk about the 7 to 10 day period that a lot of people look like they're doing well. And then they might do a nose dip. The other thing I wonder about, too, is if he will say he doesn't need to wear a mask because he has antibodies.
Well, I don't think, Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. I'm not exactly sure science is on his side. And I think that there's a lot of this, which is, like I said, on Saturday, there were reports of 103 degree temperature. On Saturday, there was reports of heart palpitations. On Saturday, there was a report of blood oxygen levels being too low. You don't just walk that off. You know, if any other person had that, they'd be in a hospital for 3 or 4 days, at least, mandatory, being monitored. So, Lawrence is in St. Paul. Thanks for holding, Lawrence. Welcome on into the show.
Hey, how you doing? I do know a guy that had COVID and he recovered. He was at the gym and within 4 days, but I digress.
Wait a second. Lawrence, you think Trump's going to be going to the gym?
that's funny.
No, that's not going to happen, man.
Listen to this logic, and you tell me what you think, and I'll hang up so I can listen to your answer. Listen to this logic. It'll prove whether he had it or not. So all Americans should be able to deduct the amount of the cost of his visit for coronavirus on their taxes, and I'll tell you why. Because he said it was a hoax. He said he didn't believe in it. He said that if you say all of this, you are now responsible. You are responsible for your own situation, not the taxpayers. So we should take that back out of our taxes. I want you to tell me what the logic is on that. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks, Lawrence. Appreciate it. 952-946-6205. I frankly think that anyone who is out there saying that you don't need to wear a mask, you don't need a social distance, you don't need to take this seriously, I think anyone that was like that should have to pay for their own health insurance, their own costs, out of pocket. Why should we tolerate ignorance? I think, you know, fine, you want freedom of speech. Your freedom of speech is intact, but we should not have to pay for your ignorance. And frankly, I think that should be the case. And I guarantee you this, if you did that, whether it was private health insurance companies or federal government, and they said, well, I'm sorry, you've been advocating that this isn't real, so we're not going to cover something you don't think is real. I guarantee you tomorrow, every Republican in this country would be demanding face masks and social distancing and going from there. 952-946-6205. I should mention here, not only, and this is because this is stuff that broke after the show on Friday, the Delta flight, the three knuckleheads in Hagedorn, Emmer, and Stauber get on a commercial airline. It sounds like Delta okayed it. So, Delta, you're just as stupid as they are, aren't you? For God's sakes. And like I said, I mean, if the state doesn't get sued, we're going to be lucky. If any other person on that flight gets coronavirus, or God forbid, a good chunk of the flight gets coronavirus, they would have a pretty decent case for a class action lawsuit against Delta if Delta did indeed authorize this, as well as the state of Minnesota for having such stupid congressmen. And then Stauber's out on Saturday campaigning. At least he figured out that the face mask is supposed to go over his schnoz. It's unbelievable. Let's look here at the coronavirus numbers for the next few for today. The coronavirus update for today. Minnesota Department of Health on Monday reported 3 coronavirus deaths, 982 newly confirmed infections in 76 of the state's 87 counties. That brings the totals of the pandemic to 2,083 deaths, 104,799 known infections in Minnesota. The state on Monday also reported a total of 403 hospital admissions for COVID-19 in the 7-day period ending September 29th. The rate of hospital admissions per 100,000 people per week has increased to 7.3, according to the state's COVID pandemic response dashboard. The 3 deaths reported Monday involved people 80 or older. Most infections result in mild or no symptoms, but some people, we have 2,000 dead here in the state, over 2,000 dead in the state. Things are not going to get better anytime soon, not necessarily because obviously coronavirus is very serious, but Fairview Health has decided that basically a pandemic is a good time for massive budget cuts. They've announced a dramatic downsizing of hospital and clinical operations on Monday to stem financial losses, including the shutdown of the 90-bed Bethesda Hospital in St. Paul that had been converted in March to treat COVID-19 patients. St. Joseph's Hospital will become Fairview's new flagship for COVID-19 care, but will cease being a general hospital as its emergency room will close by year's end, and specialties such as neurology and bariatrics will be relocated. Inpatient mental health care will continue in downtown St. Paul Hospital at least through 2021. 16 clinics in Minnesota and Western Wisconsin will close. 900 jobs will be eliminated. Fairview Health braces for a $250 million operating loss this year that was exacerbated by the pandemic. The announcement formalizes plans for the closure of Bethesda and St. Joseph as hospitals that were privately proposed by Fairview's executives last November in a war room meetings to address financial shortfalls that were occurring even before the economy crippling pandemic. So once again, this was not necessarily pandemic related. The fact that they're doing it in a pandemic, I find it to be somewhat irresponsible, but, you know, this is what you get with for-profit healthcare. The minute we started putting for-profit healthcare out there was the minute that the health and safety of people did not matter as long as the executives got their paychecks. That is a fact. There is not a for-profit model where the number one thing is profit. That is it. This is, I'm a business major from William Penn. I know I don't look like it, but I am. I'm business major from William Penn. If you're a for-profit industry, your number one goal is profit. And it's not the health and safety. Oh, sure, they put out the advertisements and all this stuff. It's profit. And as we talk about these massive cuts, how much money are the executives trimming from their annual paychecks or their bonus structure? How much money are they foregoing as they gut healthcare, primarily in lower income areas, for God's sakes? How much money are they sacrificing? Or is this being done to preserve their paychecks, preserve their Christmas bonuses? I don't know. I can't say. We'll only find out when they release the numbers in 8 months or 9 months of what their full, compensation for 2020 was, and by then people were forgotten. Fairview posted an operating loss of about $66 million in the second financial quarter, June, according to the most recent financial records, despite receiving more than $112 million in emergency federal and state grant support to maintain operations amid the pandemic. Fairview also received $321 million in federal Medicaid loan funding in the second quarter to maintain operations, but is still projecting one of the largest annual operating losses in history. You got $433 million in aid, and you're still running a massive budget deficit? Something doesn't add up there. Fairview merged with Health East in 2017 to expand its services area into East Metro, but took the money losing St. Joseph's in the process, as well as Bethesda, which until this spring served as a long-term acute care hospital. The people rehabilitating from accidents, addictions, and diseases, losses at St. Joseph only deepened when Fairview consolidated mental health services at the hospital. Primary care clinics are being closed in Columbia Heights, Farmington, Hugo, Lino Lakes, Malacca, Pine City, Roseville, Savage, and Zimmerman in Minnesota, as well as select sites in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Bloomington. Clinics will also close in Ellsworth and Spring Valley in Wisconsin. Hospital services are being relocated from St. Joseph's to St. John's Hospital in Maplewood. Hey, hopefully that bleeding will hold off till you get the extra 2 miles. Woodlands Health Campus and the University Medical Center, the exact number of people losing jobs in the process is unclear, despite the plan to cut 900 positions, or nearly 3% of its workforce of 34,000 people. Fairview has 1,200 job vacancies, including 300 nursing positions. So one goal is to transfer many people around if possible. Well, can I just say, bring up another point here that I think is something that's important to say. If this was a Democratic president going on right now, every Republican and all the media in this town would be out screaming. What would they be screaming right now? Look at how Obama's his health care plan is shut down all the clinics. And isn't this what they all screamed the Affordable Care Act was going to do under Obama? But now that Trump's in charge, now it's just, what can you do? The company is closing all the hospitals. No one's to blame for that. I just get so damn tired of the tilted playing field in politics, that if this happened under a Democratic president's watch, that Republicans would be screaming about how President Obama personally closed down the Lino Lakes medical facility. He's taken my doctor from me. Happens under Trump, it's, companies got to save money, so, I guess I don't have to have a clinic. Yeah, you're like I said, until you guys see that this setup, this situation is been caused by Republicans. Now, there's not much I can do to help you people, but you're broken. Needless to say, this is why for-profit healthcare sucks. It sucks. Because there is some guy who lives on a lake with a massive 12,000 square foot mansion and 3 vacation homes and 16 boats and 27 jet skis and 19 cars, paraphrasing or kind of making a generality example, I guess. But still, you get that guy, and his biggest priority is, well, I got to make sure my Christmas bonus gets in. Well, those poor people, they don't need a hospital, do they? I'm tired of this crap. For-profit healthcare sucks. It just does. Jeff is. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Warner's Deli is celebrating its 66th anniversary with a great sale. I promise you'll save money on the appliances you choose. Get free installation on KitchenAid and Beko dishwashers and Bosch cooking pairs. Save hundreds on an LG French door refrigerator or laundry pair. Warner's Deli feels honored to be the appliance specialist of more than 350,000 Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa homeowners and contractors. Take advantage of unbeatable appliance savings and service for a limited time during Warner's Deli's 66th anniversary sale.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Kamala Harris debates Trump enabler Mike Pence on Wednesday, and we'd like you to join us for our vice presidential debate watch party at Crooner's Supper Club. Crooner's has an outdoor stage with a large TV screen and great sound. Plus, Wednesday's forecast looks great as an added bonus. Space is very limited, though, because of safety, so you have to order your tickets now at am950radio.com, as we will not have any available at the door. Again, that's our vice presidential debate watch party Wednesday at Crooner's off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets at am950radio.com.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Let me ask you something here, because someone said, well, I think Fairview might be nonprofit. How much money do you think those executives are making? Because I can tell you right now, someone's making a profit. Have you seen the numbers of how much money these executives make? You have to, Matt, we got to pay them like that so we get the top-level executives. Well, okay, let me just point out, one, no, you don't. I mean, we used to have people in this country who would run a business and their employees would make $50,000 a year and they'd make $150,000 a year. And everyone thought that was great because, hey, he's getting paid more because he's the boss, but he's only getting paid three times more. Now we got people who are paid 500 times, 600 times more than their basic employee is. And don't tell me that's not for profit. Jesus Christ. Dear Lord. And when you look at places like Sanford and other places that are truly for-profit healthcare, no, if you have executive salaries, you have bonuses, you have profit margins, no matter how the setup is, our current healthcare system sucks. And the reason why so many people are against the idea of opening up Medicare and Medicaid for single-payer buyers is because, well, then all of a sudden those executives aren't getting the money. And frankly, I'm tired of seeing healthcare cost so much so we can pay executives so much money so that they can go out by Republican politicians to make sure healthcare never gets affordable. For God's sakes. It just... Hey, by the way, I think we got a new nickname for Jennifer Carnahan. Representative Jim Hague, during his spouse, nearly 2 years, Minnesota Republican Party Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan, both have had much at stake this November. Hague, during a one-term congressman from southern Minnesota, is a tough fight for re-election, even though he has kidney cancer. As Hagedorn faces a challenge from Dan Feehan, he's also had to respond to revelations he used his taxpayer dollars funded by his congressional office that had been criticized for political rivals and government ethics experts. Hagedorn said he found himself subject of unusually public pushback by his former congressional chief of staff, whom Hagedorn had publicly blamed for the mail snafu that cost taxpayers tons. Carnahan, who is a political newcomer when she pulled off an upset win for the GOP chair back in 2017, also has a tumultuous stretch. Last week, the party executive director unexpectedly quit with no official word from why the party is why. By the way, I'd love to find out why, what happened there. The Trump visit to Minnesota just days before he revealed the COVID-19 diagnosis has also scrambled many of the leaders within the Republican Party. The DFL, which has criticized Carnahan for not wearing a mask at party events, has kept up the drumbeat. Last week, the party disclosed a string of emails obtained by a Freedom of Information request that showed a staffer of Hagedorn's D.C. office emailing the National Park Service office on short notice last December 19th to request free entrance and private guided tours for Carnahan at several parks in Arizona. Ms. Carnahan would love to have a private guided tour of the Grand Canyon, preferably within the next hour. She was wondering if the same could be arranged for her as she visits Horseshoe Bend this afternoon and Angel's Landing tomorrow. Dear Lord, drop everything. Here's Jim Hagedorn's wife. Wow. Likewise, she hopes she can get entry fee waived as she's a member's spouse. The email from Hagedorn's office reads, after a park official emailed Carnahan to say it might be too late, Carnahan was polite in her response. Thanks, understood. Either way, she wrote. Sounds like she did go and she did pay the entrance fees, but man, how crass. Or excuse me. What a wonderful idea. Let's get the commoners out there to drop everything and get us in for free into the parks. And give me a tour, and they can rub my bunions while they go. And get me a martini. This hiking ain't going to be easy. Please. Well, and speaking of celebrating, Senator John Jasinski, cited for fourth-degree DWI and DWI with blood alcohol content above the state legal limit of 0.08. Do we know what his legal limit was? This is the Republican from Faribault, Family Values, a lifelong Faribault resident who represents District 24, which includes communities like Dodge, Rice, Steele, Waseca, Jim Beam, Jack Denton. No, I'm sorry. That's not where he doesn't represent those districts. He just represents those bottles in the district. That's what he does. I mean, there's a liquor store that's got Jim Beam, and that's part of his district, right? That's how I understand it. Maybe a little white sin. I don't know. Early in life, he served two tours with the Navy and Persian Gulf Industry, being a state senator. Jasinski works in real estate. Hey, dude, here's the deal. You don't drink and drive. You know, the last thing we need is a state senator plowing into a car and killing a kid. It was a stupid decision. I don't see a need here that you have to check into rehab, and this sounds like it was a one-time mistake. And he has apologized. He has apologized. But come on. You know, you got to do a little bit better there. And you can't be, you know, and like I said, if we find out the blood alcohol level is like 0.28, well, that's a little bit of trouble. So, Jeff, we're not going to have time for Jeff's call. Jeff in Minneapolis, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the time today. We are done. Yeah, we're done. For God's sakes, don't take coronavirus lightly. Wear a face mask. Wash your hands. Social distance. Please, for God's sakes, please. I don't want you to die. I don't want your family members to die. All right, Fallout Boy, that's going to take us on out today. Have a good one. We will be back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.
I'm going to make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show. And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life.